This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Outside of Christ, all attempts to rid ourselves of guilt are futile and hopeless. I really believe that. Outside of Christ, any attempt to deal with your guilt will be futile and hopeless. You heard me right. Yeah, I know, you know, you choose therapy. I'm not against choosing therapy. You choose medicine. I'm not against medication. But I'm telling you, again, it's like you're choosing all these other things to try to replace the only one that can help you. And Jesus Christ and His shed blood is the only real way you're going to be free and understand how to deal with this guilt.
It's a great time to take a moment and look at all the progress you've made so far in your year. Are you happy with your progress with personal goals and achievement? If you'd like to take the initiative to take 15 minutes a day to start learning and growing, Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings from Creflo Dollar. You will have access to interactive Bible lessons that include features like e-courses, study guides, quizzes, and more. Start your 30-day free trial or go online and visit mygracelifeacademy.com.
Let's look at four scriptures just to show you the fact that there were lots of people in the Bible that dealt with a guilty conscience. And as a text today, I'm going to use four scriptures or four areas of the Bible to show you this. First of all, Genesis chapter 42 and 21. Genesis 42 and 21. And he says, "And they said one to another, we are verily guilty." He said, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear." So this is Joseph. He says, "Therefore is this distress come upon thee." So this is Joseph when his brothers showed up in Egypt. They were looking for, you know, it was a famine going on, and they were looking for corn. And Joseph knew who they were. And the guilt that came over his brothers because, you know, of everything they did to Joseph, how the fact that Joseph was sold into slavery, how they lied about it, all that kind of stuff, the guilt came upon them, and the guilt came as a result of what they did. And the Bible says that distress, that guilt caused the distress that was on their life. So here you see the brothers of Joseph suffering distress because of the guilt. Now, they have guilt because they're guilty, but still the guilt is there to cause distress. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 5 through 6 in the New Living Translation. 1 Samuel 24, 5 through 6 in the NLT. And in 1 Samuel here, you see David here, and verse 5, he says, "But then David's conscience," that guilty conscience, David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. Verse 6, "He said to this man, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king.'" He says, I shouldn't have attacked the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David was having a guilty conscience because he so honored Saul. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, David had a guilty conscience because he even, you know, cut the part of his garment, and it just caused guilt because he knew that Saul was still the anointed one, even though Saul tried to kill him. And so David had a guilty conscience as a result of what happened to him. Look at Ezra. 9 in the NLT, Ezra 9 and 6. Ezra 9 and 6 in the NLT. And all throughout the Bible, you begin to see people dealing with a guilty conscience. He said in verse 6, I prayed, O my God, I am utterly ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to you, for our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens. So we see again that a guilty conscience came as a result of sin. And for most of you who are listening to this today, you see that a guilty conscience will come as a result of sin in your life. And then in St. John chapter 8, verses 7 through 11, St. John chapter 8, verses 7 through 11, you begin to look at when this woman was about to be stoned, and check out what happens in verse 7. So when they continued asking him, Jesus, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then in verse 8, he says, And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9, And they which heard began, they which heard what Jesus said, being convicted by their own conscience. See, they all knew they had sinned. So they were being convicted by their own conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the elder, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the place in the midst. I just want to share that those four areas, those four illustrations, so that I can show you that a guilty conscience, I don't believe anybody is a stranger to guilt. And so I don't want anybody to feel condemned. This is not a condemning message, but this is a message for us to travel together, to take a journey together this morning, so that we can understand what Jesus has made available for us to deal with guilt and to deal with a guilty conscience. Well, first of all, guilt is one of the strongest robbers of peace. You know, Taff and I were talking about that. We took communion over that. Guilt is one of the strongest robbers of peace. And I tell you right now, if there's any time you need to operate in peace and walk in peace, it would be today. And some of you may have discovered that, you know, something that you did in the past. Maybe you feel guilty about how you treated somebody, or maybe you feel guilty about what you didn't do or what you should have done, or guilty about some sin that you committed in your life, or guilty about a whole lot of things, how you should have been a better parent. You feel guilty about a lot. But I want you to understand that guilt is the strongest, one of the strongest robbers of peace. Guilt stalks the minds of men and women trying to take away their happiness and mental stability. Did you hear that? Guilt tries to take away happiness and your mental stability. There are people who are unstable mentally today because they didn't understand guilt, and they didn't know how to deal with guilt. Guilt that was so tormenting, it affected their mental stability. There are parents that hold themselves guilty for the actions of their children, and they beat themselves up because of the actions of their children, and they carry that guilt. And when you carry that guilt, you allow it to rob you of peace. You allow it to rob you of happiness. You allow this guilt to rob you even of mental stability. So I would define guilt as a product of the mind, absolutely, a product of the mind, which occurs when a person realizes that he has violated moral, religious, or ethical standards. In other words, it is a product of the mind. It is the fruit of the mind and your emotions and all that stuff when a person has violated rules, laws, principles, etc. That's basically how I would define it. It's what's going on in your mind and your emotions as a result of violating some standard in your life, whether it is religious standard, moral, ethical, those things I would define guilt as. So here's a very important statement I'm about to make. With the realization that one has done something wrong, with the realization that one has done wrong, what comes with that realization, when you realize, oh, I've done something wrong, when you realize, oh, that might have been the wrong thing to do, comes the guilt and a regretful or sorrowful feeling, which decreases your feelings of personal worth and peace of mind. So when you begin to realize, oh, I've done something wrong, you raise your kids and they come up and they tell you things that you should have did or they wish you would have done, and then you realize, oh, I did something wrong when I was parenting. Or you're a member of a church and you realize I did something wrong while I was in that church. Or you realize something you hear from the Word of God or some moral situation and you realize, oh, I might have done something wrong. When you realize that, then the guilt comes, the regret comes, the sorrow comes, and what that will do is it will decrease your feelings of personal worth. So now this guilty conscience attacks your personal worth, and it decreases your feelings of personal worth, and it begins to again go after your peace of mind. Now there are many contributions or many things that contribute to feelings of guilt. I want to be very practical first and then get into Word, because that's where our answer is going to be. I'm telling you right now, there are lots of things you might be able to substitute in the world to try to get things to happen, but I am totally convinced that if you're ever going to be free from the effects of a guilty conscience, you need Jesus and you need His Word. So what are those things that contribute to the feelings of guilt? Real quickly. Number one, thinking you may have done something wrong. I just said that. Thinking that you may have done something wrong will lead to guilt. Number two, a poor self-esteem leads to guilt. Think about that. When you have a poor self-esteem, it leads to guilt. When you meet people who have a poor self-esteem, most likely guilt led them there. Or guilt is a part of that situation, excuse me. Number three, a perfectionist attitude. A perfectionist attitude. It's when you think you should be happy all the time. And then on the days when you find yourself not feeling happy and you feel sad and you feel full of doom and gloom, then you feel guilty because that perfectionist attitude says you feel guilty because you're not happy all the time. I mean, you thought you should be happy all the time. That contributes to guilt in a person's life, a perfectionist attitude. Number four, an unrealistic expectation leads to a guilty conscience. Unrealistic expectations. You know, guilt comes because standards are impossible to reach. And when you realize that standard that you set in your life is impossible to reach, it leads to a guilty conscience because you feel guilty for not being able to reach the standard. Even though it was unrealistic, it brings guilt. Number five, a false conscience. A false conscience, excuse me, this is what, go to Isaiah 5:20 in the NLT. I want to define this. A false conscience development. In other words, how was your conscious thinking developed? How have you been trained to think? A false conscious development leads to guilt. Now, here's what I mean by this. Look at the Isaiah 5. Verse 20 and NLT, he says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and that good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. He said that's a sorrowful thing. Why? Because eventually it's going to lead to guilt. I mean, if your consciousness has been developed to thinking that what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right, what's light is dark, and what's dark is light. Man, he says there's sorrow for those who've allowed their conscience to be developed that way. That leads to guilt. So you got to let the Word be your guide, and success will be your future when you allow the Word to be your guide. And then number six, actual guilt which is produced by a healthy conscience. What do you mean by that? Actual guilt that's produced by a healthy conscience given by God to help men shun wrong and to do right. So there is a guilt. I'll share a little bit later on. There are some really interestingly good things that may come out of guilt, in the fact that the guilt leads you to separate yourself from sin, or the guilt may lead you to shun some of the wrong that you might do in your life and then do what is right. Look at John chapter 8, verse 9. You know, in many cases, people feel guilty because they are guilty. And I mentioned that before, but verse 9, he says, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst." This is the story I shared with you about the woman that was about to be stoned. And so, you know, even though she was guilty, you know, that guilt hopefully helped her to shun the wrongdoing that she was guilty of. Now, let's get into what the Bible's talking about. What does the Bible say about this? Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19, and then verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 23. And look at what the Bible has to say about this in verse 19. He says, "Now we know that what things soever the law of Moses, the Mosaic law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Why? So everybody under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. Now look at this in the NLT, just this scripture here, that the whole world is understanding that the Mosaic law brought you to a place where everybody was guilty, because everybody was guilty of sin. And so it brought them to the place for that. The NLT says, "Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God." He is guilty before God. And then look at verse 23. The whole world is guilty before God. Now, verse 23 says this, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." So the Bible is saying everyone has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. That's why the whole world stands guilty before God, because everyone has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. That's why the whole world stands guilty before God. And that's even more why it's important to hear this message today, because there is a way to deal with this. Before we get into those scriptures, let's look at some examples in the Bible of people experiencing feelings of guilt. Once again, very quickly, number one, Adam and Eve, they hid themselves in the garden because they felt the guilt of their sins. You remember that? Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. Because of what they did in the garden, they hid themselves because they felt guilty. They felt the guilt of their sin. Sin caused them to hide themselves. Guilt was the motivation behind it. The second example, King David. King David, you know the pain of guilt David felt. In fact, let me read it to you. Psalms 51, verses 1 through 3. You see the pain of the guilt that David felt when he first of all committed adultery with another man's wife. He had that her husband killed in the middle of a battle. And verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Boy, David knew some stuff. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin." Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." You see that David knew the pain of guilt even in his life. Here's a third illustration and example. Judas committed suicide because of guilt. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 5, if you'll go there. Matthew 27, 3 through 5, Judas committed suicide because of guilt. And you know, we know people today that they commit suicide because they don't know how to deal with guilt. That's why I'm talking about it today. I want you to know how to deal with it. Verse 3, he says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Wow, that's a sermon I'm gonna preach one day. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went, and he hanged himself. Guilt can be, if when you don't know how to deal with guilt, when you don't understand how to deal with it and how it deals with you, oh my goodness, God forbid, but people have committed suicide because of a lack of understanding in that area. And then final illustration is the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and 37. The Jews on the day of Pentecost, hearing about Jesus and remembering what happened on that cross, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. He's made the one, the guy who you crucified, God made him the Lord and Christ. And look at verse 37. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostle, men and brethren, what shall we do? That heart was pricked with guilt. The same one that was crucified on the cross, God says, and he made sure that this they knew that he was both Lord and Christ and King and all of these wonderful things. Now, in light of it, I hope that you have the reality of guilt, that guilt is something that the whole world deals with. Guilt is something that people in the Bible dealt with. It's just not this little private issue that a few people have. That at any given time, if you're not cautious and if you're not educated, when that guilt visits your house and you don't know how to deal with it, it will deal with you. Let me start off by saying this. The blood of Christ is the answer to our sin and guilt. The blood of Jesus, in my opinion, is really the only genuine answer for sin and guilt. Outside of Christ, all attempts to rid ourselves of guilt are futile and hopeless. I really believe that. Outside of Christ, any attempt to deal with your guilt will be futile and hopeless. You heard me right. Yeah, I know, you know, you choose therapy. I'm not against choosing therapy. You choose medicine. I'm not against medicine, medication. But I'm telling you, again, it's like you're choosing all these other things to try to replace the only one that can help you. And Jesus Christ and his shed blood is the only real way you're going to be free and understand how to deal with this guilt. Now, let me say this out loud. God is greater than your guilty conscience. God is greater than your guilty conscience. I'm going to say it two more times. God is greater than your guilty conscience. Now, I'm going to share with you several scriptures here, and I just want to read them because I want to now fill you up with an understanding that Christ is your way to deal with a guilty conscience. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 in the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 9, 14 in the New Living Translation. He says this. He says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God, for by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Now, let's read that again. Look at what he says here. Look at the key to dealing with a guilty conscience. The key is the blood of Christ purifying your conscience from sinful deeds so you can worship the living God. You know, I can remember a time where I could hardly worship the living God because my conscience was so inundated with you know, condemnation. You know, was I praying enough? Was I fasting enough? Was I good enough? Was I reading the Bible enough? Was I polite enough? And I maintained a guilty conscience. I couldn't hardly serve God, like he needed to be served, because it was just never enough. And then I understood this gospel of grace, and I recognized that if I begin to focus in on what the blood of Jesus has done, and by his blood that I have been set free from a guilty conscience. By the blood of Jesus, my conscience has been purified by what Jesus has done through his blood, how Jesus has rescued me, how Jesus has cleansed me, how Jesus has died for my sins. Well, once I began to focus on that and my conscience was purified, I could now serve God like I want to serve him. Ah, yes. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Write these scriptures down. Get these scriptures, because anytime you're attacked with guilt, you pull these scriptures out, because God is greater than your guilty conscience. Verse 12, he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." So sin is what's causing people to have a guilty conscience, because you think you're a bad person and you think God's mad at you. And right here he says, "I'm going to show you mercy." Mercy is the bad you deserved, you don't get. And God says, "I'm going to show you mercy." He says, "I'm going to be merciful to their unrighteousness, and I'm going to be merciful to their sins, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." And so while you're walking around being guilty of sin in your life, you need to meditate on the fact that God he's willing to show mercy, and he says, "Your sins will I remember no more." God's greater than your guilty conscience. Look at John 3:17. See, if sin is the number one cause, when you start realizing, "Oh, I've done something wrong, I violated this sin, I violated this moral thing," then look at what Jesus has done for that. And he did all of that to free you from a guilty conscience. He died and shed his blood and dealt with sin so you don't have to deal or be condemned by a guilty conscience. Look at verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Condemnation is always about not enough, not enough, that you're no good, you're not good enough. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus is not coming to condemn you. Jesus is not coming to try to make you feel guilty. That's why I have a problem with preachers in the pulpit that say things to try to make people feel guilty. Jesus didn't come to try to give you a guilty conscience. Jesus did not come to try to condemn you. He came, praise God, the Bible says, but that the world through him might be saved, not be condemned. He's trying to save you from a guilty conscience, not give you a guilty conscience. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. I say it again, God's greater than your guilty conscience. He says in verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus was made sin who knew no sin, who had never sinned, "that we might be made the righteousness of God." So look at his love. He says, "I'm going to take your sin upon myself, and I've never sinned, but I'm going to take all your sins upon me so you can be made the righteousness of God." And the day you believe you're righteous, you'll start stepping away from that guilt, because you'll remind yourself that you're the righteousness of God. See, guilt will try to tell you you're bad. Guilt will try to tell you you deserve everything that's coming to you. But what Jesus did, he says, "I'm taking all your sin, and I'm taking all your potential for a guilty conscience away, and here's what I want you to be. I want you to be righteousness conscious. I want you to be conscious of the fact that I made you the righteousness of God." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, and I know these are a lot of scriptures, but man, I'm trying to give you a bottle of goss pills so you can fight guilt when it shows up. Ephesians 1 and 7, he says, "In whom we have redemption," or deliverance. How? "Through his blood, We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You have the forgiveness of sin. Don't walk around and be guilty of a sin and not realize that God has already made His mind through His blood up to forgive you. He's already through His blood redeemed you. And so if something crazy happens or you sin in your life, remind yourself, I've been redeemed and God has forgiven me, and then go ahead. Don't let the guilt deal with you. Let the blood deal with you. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. I'm almost there. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet red, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Look at God saying, I am a game changer. I am a game changer. And when I show up in your life, I transform things. I transform the things that are bad to good. I transform your guilty conscience to a righteousness conscience. I take care of your sin so that your sin won't take care of you. Psalms 103, verse 12. This is powerful. This is probably one of the first scriptures I got a hold of after getting born again and sinning, and then thought, well, I'm not saved anymore because God doesn't love me, and I felt so guilty. And this brother shared this with me. I'll never forget this scripture. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He has removed our transgressions from us, and He has thrown it as far as the east is from the west. Man, they never coming back together again. And the Bible says it lands into the sea of forgetfulness. That's how God has dealt with your sins. So if God has dealt with your sins, you got to make sure your sins don't deal with you, that your sins won't deal with you and then bring about that guilty conscience. And then guilt begins to wreck your life. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Yeah, sometimes I have to just give scripture because I believe that when these things come up, we ought to know how to intelligently respond. We ought to have something for the devil. When the devil shows up and tries to bring that guilt on your life, you need to be able to respond and say, you don't want none of me. You don't want none of me, bro. You know, you want to dance, let's dance. And then you pull these scriptures out and just start quoting them. You quote them until that guilt goes away, praise God. I'm so excited. All right, look at Romans 8:1. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, we got to be careful because most people, condemnation comes through self-condemnation. You can't condemn yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to use sin to bring guilt and condemnation into your life. And he says, if the day you realize that you're in Christ Jesus, and the day you realize what Christ has done for you, there is no more condemnation, no more guilt. You deal with that guilty conscience by realizing, wait a minute, I'm in Christ Jesus. All is well. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And then one more. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, there it is again. See, that's the thing. You answer that question. You know, ask yourself, am I in Christ? Yes. So you're in Christ. And he said, what did he say to those who are in Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You got to make sure that the devil doesn't have a rope tied to your ankle trying to keep you in your past. All of us have a past, but you don't have to live there anymore. All of us have a past, but you don't have to live there anymore. And let me show you this. This Psalms 32 verses 1 through 2. And I'll move on. Psalms 32 verses 1 through 2. I'm just amazed at what the scripture all over says. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It's forgiven. Whose sin is covered. It's taken care of. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He is not charging that iniquity to your account. So you're guilty over something that's not going to be charged to you. The Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You know, the Bible warns us in the New Testament that don't speak guile. If you want to have good days and live a long life, don't let your mouth speak guile. Now, I have hopefully clearly stated that God is greater than your guilty conscience. And there are some people who suffer under such tormenting guilt because of such egregious acts that sometimes they just want to become numb to what I'm saying. So let me try to attack it another way. What happens, what are the results in the lives of people who refuse to deal with the guilt God's way? What's the result in the lives of people who say, well, I don't believe in God and yada, 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 and I'm just a bad person and I deserve everything that comes to me. I want you to deal with the guilt. You can. Jesus has dealt with it. By faith, receive what Jesus has done and see yourself walk free. Believe in Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Lord. But what are the results? What are the results? Let's talk about some results. There's some bad things, and then there's some good things. I got some good news, and I got some bad news. Let's look at the bad news first. If you fail to deal with the issue of guilt in your life, here's the first result. Self-condemnation. Self-condemnation. It's when a person condemns himself because of guilty feelings, he's also opening the door for a host of other emotional problems. When self-condemnation shows up and you condemn yourself because of those guilty feelings, then you're going to open the door for a lot of emotional issues to come. Emotional issues, for example, emotional issues like loneliness. Loneliness is going to be a result of this self-condemnation. Emotional issues like an inferiority complex. You're going to walk around inferior. Feelings of inferiority. Emotional issues like anxiety. When you begin to allow self-condemnation to be there because you refuse to deal with the guilt. I've met people who have allowed the guilt to torment them so bad, then they start condemning themselves for something they were not even responsible for. You know, a person usually feels that he is merely getting what he deserves for being so bad. That's what self-condemnation does. I'm just simply getting what I deserve just for being so bad. You know, the number of lives that have been just so destroyed because of self-condemnation, because they have just not dealt with it. Here's the second result of not dealing with guilt. You know what you'll start doing? Number two, you'll start placing blame on others for your problems and for your wrong. You'll start placing blames on others. I mean, the guilt that Adam and Eve had in the garden, remember that? You remember the first thing Adam did as a result of the guilt in the garden, and they hid themselves because of that guilt? He started blaming. He blamed Eve. He said, "This woman you gave me, that's the reason why this happened." Listen to me carefully. If you're a person that somehow gotten yourself in the blame game, placing blame on others for your wrongs and for your problems, that is a result of not dealing with guilt. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand why people operate the way they operate. It's because they don't deal with the guilt in their life, and then it's just easy to blame somebody else. It's just easy to blame somebody else for the wrongs. Here's a third result of not dealing with guilt. You become a pessimist. Pessimism becomes a part of your character. You have this negative outlook on life, and I mean, I guess so. I mean, you're just so heavy with all of the guilt. I mean, it becomes hard to have a positive attitude with a heavy load of guilt. And when you have a heavy load of guilt, you are a pessimist. everything's just negative around you because you just walk with this guilt. I pray that that the practicality of what I'm preaching this morning is helping you to see yourself or to see someone else or to help you to understand how and why people are going through some of the things that they're going through. And yet, there is still one more thing that I want to put on the table here. When you fail to deal with guilt, the results of guilt is going to be physical illness. There are people who they've gotten cancer because of the guilt that they didn't know how to deal with. There are people who have had heart attacks because they didn't know how to deal with the guilt. There are people who have abused themselves and set themselves up to be abused because they did not know how to deal with the guilt. Physical illnesses. Think of that. Think of that. Think of you going to the doctor and he diagnoses you with a sickness that came as a result of the guilt in your life. High blood pressure that came as a result of the guilt in your life. Heart attacks that occur because of the guiltness, the failure to deal with the guilt in your life. Cancer that shows up because you failed to deal with the guilt in your life. Oh, man. Well, there are some positive and healthy aspects of guilt. Just to show you, just kind of add a little something here. I do understand that guilt can be responsible for growth and change. I know that, and I'm talking about mostly the guilt that comes from being guilty. The guilt that comes from being guilty can work in a person's life to help you to grow from those crazy things you used to do or that you're guilty of, and it can help you to change from those things that you're guilty of.
Do you ever experience the feeling of regret? It's a feeling that can cause you to feel stagnant, and that's not the will of God for your life. In the two-message series, Living Without Regret, Creflo Dollar shows us how to overcome regret and move forward in our lives.
If you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to use sin to bring guilt and condemnation into your life. And he says, if the day you realize that you're in Christ Jesus and the day you realize what Christ has done for you, there is no more condemnation, no more guilt. You deal with that guilty conscience by realizing, wait a minute, I'm in Christ Jesus. All of us have a past, but you don't have to live there anymore.
Get this series and the in-depth study notes for your love gift of only $20 or more. Visit the website or call the number on your screen to order your combo today.
It's a great time to take a moment and look at all the progress you've made so far in your year. Are you happy with your progress with personal goals and achievements? What about your relationships with family and friends? Or developing your relationship with God? If you'd like to take the initiative to take 15 minutes a day to start learning and growing not only the understanding of God's grace, but learn how to rest from worry, mastering your emotions with peace, becoming a confident Christian. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings from Creflo Dollar. You will have access to interactive Bible lessons that include features like e-courses, study guides, quizzes, and more. It's never too late to improve and grow for your self-development and develop God's grace and join Grace Life Academy. Start your 30-day free trial by texting GLA to 51555 to get started right now, or go online and visit mygracelifeacademy.com.
By the grace of God, we feed and clothe people, provide houses, visit hospitals and prisons, and do so, so much more. Every time you make a financial donation to support us, you do these things as well. The tangible relief we provide to God's precious people is only possible because of your faithful support. Thank you for supporting us as we strive to reach a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. God bless you. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.